Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Toe Meets Leather podcast. We're here with our week two predictions. I'm here again with Tommy, Andrew, and Nigel. Elizabeth was not willing to grace us with her beautiful presence this week, but we're looking forward to continuing with our glorious picks from last week. We all actually did pretty well, even despite me trying my best to give y'all a good head start. I think that was partially because of all the crazy upsets. Tommy actually went 7-5 last week for a 58% pick rate. Andrew was 6-6 for 50%. I was 6-5. The reason my number is different is because I refused to pick Auburn over Clemson, and I couldn't do that to myself. So 6-5 at 55%, and Elizabeth, through some crazy mechanisms of fate, drew up an 8-2 record, so an 80% accurate pick rate. Nigel, I'm looking forward to seeing what your record starts with after this week. All right, well, with all that said, let's get right into it. We're going to start off with Arkansas and TCU. Honestly, I didn't see much about Arkansas last week, and this will be their first major challenge of the season. And TCU, now that Oklahoma's kind of been knocked back a bit with Houston, they're looking to be the top team in the Big 12, which still – sorry, every time I say the Big 12, it really throws me off because there's not 12 teams. Anyway, I don't want to drag in on that. Nigel, since this is your first pick, would you like to start us off?
I'm going to go with Arkansas on this one. I think TCU is more vulnerable than we're giving it credit for. Obviously, their offense looked good, but their defense just did not look great. And I know Arkansas is going to run the ball. If they can shorten the game down, limit the number of times that, you know, TCU obviously gets the ball, I think Arkansas can come away with the win here.
All right. Well, that's a surprising pick to start off. Tommy, are you feeling like Nigel, that TCU is a little weaker than people expect?
I agree with them on that case, but not down to Arkansas's level. I think TCU wins this. Now, granted, they did give up 112 yards on 7 carries to South Dakota State, so Arkansas is going to get their yards running the ball. But I think TCU's going to score too many points for Arkansas. You know, they put 59 up on South Dakota State last week, and that's not just because it's South Dakota State. I think it's because they're going to score like TCU and Baylor and all these Big 12 high-flying offenses do. And I don't think Arkansas is going to be able to keep up.
All right. Fair enough. So we're 50-50 so far. Andrew?
I'm going to have to agree with Tommy. I think TCU wins it. You know, Kenny Hill's back to playing his September Heisman. He did throw 2 picks, but he completed 67.3% of his passes last week, and that's definitely going to help you out. Now, that Arkansas defense, it, you know, gave up points to a Louisiana Tech team really isn't that great, you know. And, yeah, I think they'll run the ball. They'll get their yards. But much like Tommy talked about, I just think TCU's got too much talent on offense. You know, Gary Patterson's a great defensive coach, and they've always had a solid defense out there that I think is going to help them. I just don't think that Arkansas is going to be able to score enough points to keep up with them.
Fair enough. So the tough decision falls to me, the man who hasn't seen any games. You know what? Nigel convinced me with his talk about TCU from our earlier podcast. I think I'm going to go with Arkansas this time around. I'm not really convinced by TCU's performance against South Dakota State, even though I think South Dakota State is a better team than people realize. I feel like Arkansas is going to have a good shot if they can maintain the running game, and that is one of their key focuses on offense. So then it really comes down to the defense. So that'll be the matchup to watch for, is TCU's offense against Arkansas's defense. And I don't think Arkansas is as bad as people make them out to be. So I'll give Arkansas the benefit of the doubt, and we'll see how that turns out. Can't be worse than 50-50. All right. Next matchup up. For anyone who recognized the Megadeth song playing as the intro, we're talking about the Holy War, BYU at Utah. So BYU, surprisingly close game against Arizona to start off their season. And Utah, I didn't actually catch who they played, but no one that caused them any trouble. So both teams undefeated so far going into this game. As always, it's a exciting matchup for the Mormons and the entire state of Utah. Andrew, I know you like talking about any religious rivalries. What do you think about this matchup?
I think it's going to come down, in my mind, as to if the Utah defense can slow down the running game of BYU. You know, Taysom Hill's back from injury for the Cougars, but he's really kind of made a name for himself with his legs. You know, they've got a great running back in Jamal Williams, who averaged 5.6 yards a carry last week against Arizona. You know, Utah, as they've settled on a starting quarterback, it looks like it's going to be Troy Williams, the Washington transfer. They've really lost a lot in the running game with Devontae Booker going to the NFL. You know, and I think that's going to be the thing, is if Utah can establish somewhat of a running game and the Utah defense can step up and really force Taysom Hill to throw the ball to beat them, which I really think they're going to do. Utah's been pretty talented on defense the years they've been there. And as we've talked about, they do have one last Lotulelei on the defensive line, who I think will be able to have a big game and help Utah pull out the win.
All right. Nigel.
For me, you know, seeing BYU's defense kind of improve, obviously we're going to, you know, it's after 1 week, you kind of don't know where people stand. We don't know how good Arizona's going to be. I think BYU is going to come away with a win. I do agree with Andrew that Utah usually has a pretty good defense year in and year out. You know, Kyle Whittingham, you know, coaches them up pretty well. But I think Taysom Hill is going to be key if he stays healthy. I don't know what it is, but he's always got some kind of ailment. If he obviously goes out in this game, then it's going to be a different outcome. But if, as long as he can stay healthy for the whole game, I think he's just such an emotional leader for that team. I think he'll end up getting them the win.
All right. Fair enough. Tommy, we're 50-50 again. You want to break up the monotony?
I think it's got to be BYU, and I think the reason is because on December 19th last year, Utah beat BYU. I think they're going to be fired up. You don't lose two holy wars in a row, so BYU is going to come out with a fire, and they're going to put it to them. Also, by doing that, they will crown themselves the undisputed champions of the state of Utah, since Utah beat Southern Utah last week. So if BYU wins this, they can claim state bragging rights.
Yeah, but they didn't beat Utah State. And really, we all know that that's the matchup that you need to win if you're going to be the true champion of the state of Utah.
I think Southern Utah over Utah State.
Oh, okay. Is that how we're playing it? I see how it is. Well, just because of that. Well, actually, not just because of that. But I think Utah is going to take this matchup. I do agree Utah's defense is their strong point, and I think that year to year that's what you're looking at. Also, I think that, you know, as this is a holy war, I think Utah is the chosen people of the Mormon deity, and that Brigham Young has fallen away from the cause of Mormonhood, and they should all be smitten. So anyway, is it smote or smitten?
Smitten or smote. Wait, what are you referring to, though?
Like God striking someone down?
Smiting?
Yeah, like when you... Yeah, the plural of smiting. What's the plural of smiting? Help me out here. Okay, anyway, we're moving on. All right, it's been done.
Good question.
Okay, Washington State at Boise. Washington State suffered a tough loss to Eastern Washington last year, which is kind of similar to how they started off last season before winning eight games. So, you know, Washington State could easily turn around. And then Boise State, who is always looking to be one of the big teams at the lower tiers outside of the Big Five programs, So this will be an interesting matchup, especially at Boise State. It seems like Washington State wants to play on all the weird colored turf fields out there. So, Nigel, I'll start with you. Do you think that Boise State can win on the blue turf?
Yes, I definitely think so. I think Boise State had a pretty impressive win to kind of start their season. They always just seem to have an extra gear when they're playing, especially the Power Five. You know, I definitely think if they're not the top team outside the Power Five over the past couple of years against the Power Five, I think they're right up there. So, no, I think Boise State gets another win this week and, you know, further cements themselves. They're not going to let Houston just run away with being the first automatic non-qualifier, even though they're, you know, they're not ranked right now. But, you know, Boise State can do some things. I think they could definitely be in the conversation.
All right. Andrew. Okay. Andrew's not home at the moment. Tommy, what are your thoughts on the Washington State-Boise State matchup?
Washington State is even worse than I thought they were going to be. So I'm going to pick Boise in this one.
Wow, straight to the point as always. You don't have faith in them to come back like they did last season?
No.
Okay. Andrew, Washington State, you think they're bounced back?
I don't think so. You know, looking at their box score from the Eastern Washington game, it seems like no one wanted to play defense in that game. Washington State put up 515 total yards, but were beaten by Eastern Washington, who put up 606. I think Boise State's got a lot of talent on offense. I think Brett Rippon, the quarterback, sophomore quarterback of Boise State, is really an under-the-radar guy who had a pretty good last year and really has a chance to cement himself as a great name and a, you know, kind of an, like I said, an underlooked guy because he's up in the Pacific Northwest. He plays in the Mountain West Conference. But, you know, he's got great numbers, 66% completion, 347 yards, no interceptions. You know, he spreads the ball around, got a lot of different receivers. And I think he's going to be able to have a great game against the Washington State team that just really doesn't know how to play defense. And I think that's what it's going to be. I think Boise State's going to be able to play enough defense to stop Washington State enough times, and Washington State couldn't stop a high school team.
Yeah, but I feel like this was also the story with Washington State last year, was that the only reason they won games was because they overcame the lack of defense with their amazing offense. I think the only other team that did that better was, what, Texas Tech? And I think that they've got a legit chance this year. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt in this game. I want to see them bounce back. I want to see a strong Washington State team. It makes the Pac-12 more interesting. All right, next up. South Carolina, who is the current dominant team in the SEC, versus Mississippi State, who lost to Southern Alabama. Andrew, I'll start with you.
You know, I'm not even sure who I'm going to pick in this game. Can I pick neither? Is it possible for both teams to lose? You know, South Carolina beat Vanderbilt, who's got a pretty good defense, but they can't figure out a quarterback. Perry Orth threw the ball better, but Brandon McElwain's a great athlete who's really good with his feet, but he's got to figure out how to throw the ball and where to throw the ball. You know, they ran the ball all right against a pretty talented Vanderbilt defense. You know, looking at Mississippi State, you know, they're going to want to run the ball, which is what they did surprisingly well against South Alabama. You know, it's going to be kind of a team – I don't even really know. I think Mississippi State wins because they're at home and they have, I guess, more answers on offense from what I've seen than South Carolina does. Plus, I don't trust Muschamp very much. I mean, it'll be their second game on the road, and Starkville is a heck of a lot harder of a place to play than Nashville is. So I think Mississippi State wins it, but I think it's an ugly game that really nobody wants to watch.
Already given up on South Carolina going 6-6. All right, fair enough. Tommy, I'll pass it back to you.
You know, I disagree with Andrew on this one. I think South Carolina wins this, and I think it's precisely because of Will Muschamp. You know, I had some questions, and we actually talked about it in the offseason where we agreed that it was kind of a hasty hire by South Carolina, just trying to grab up a coach with a name to replace Spurrier as soon as possible. But I think it's actually lining up to be a really good pick. I think Muschamp in a place like South Carolina, he's not going to have the same level of pressure that he did at Florida. You know, I think he's got the players right now to do reasonably well. I think they can make a bowl game if they play well. And I think Mississippi State, after South Alabama, doesn't have the leadership they did last year with Prescott to kind of rally back as much as they need to beat South Carolina this year. So I think South Carolina is going to win it.
All right, Nigel.
I'm actually going to agree with Andrew on this one. I'm going to go with Mississippi State. I think I agree that, you know, they're just going to have more answers on offense. I think South Carolina is going to, you know, make it a little bit harder. But I just don't see them having the continuity yet. So we'll see where the game outcome is. But I really do think the Mississippi State's going to get this one.
I'm just going to go ahead and pick. I think Mississippi State will bounce back. I don't really have a good reason. Kind of like Andrew said, this is going to be an ugly matchup. But I'll go ahead and pick Mississippi State. All right. Next up. That's not right. Pitt and Penn State. So, both these teams, it's kind of a rivalry that people aren't as familiar with. They haven't played in a while, but these are two teams. Pitt's trying to prove themselves in the ACC as a potential dark horse. And Penn State, I think, is just trying to get back to where they were a while ago, and they've just been struggling both as a, from a talent perspective and a coaching perspective over the past couple of years. Andrew, I will start with you. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
I think Pitt wins it. You know, Pitt beat Villanova, which is an FCS program. It's not really that big of a deal. You know, Penn State knocked off Kent State, who, again, is not a great program. But, you know, Penn State, Trace McSorley, it's going to be interesting to see what he can do at quarterback. He only completed 51% of his passes against Kent State. I mean, they really wanted to establish the run with Saquon Barkley, who had a pretty good game. But I think that Pitt Panther defense is really one that's going to step up and be able to stop. I think the other good side of it is it was fantastic. To see James Conner back after his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. You know, he ran the ball well. They've got a great 1-2 punch with Quadre Allison. Their big question is they can find a receiver for Nate Peterman. But like I said, I think the Pitt defense is going to come in and really shut down Penn State. And you're going to, again, start to have some questions about is James Franklin the answer in Happy Valley?
All right, fair enough. I'll pass it over to Nigel again.
I agree with Andrew again on this one. I think Pitt is going to have the answers that they need. Like you said, you know, you find yourself kind of rooting for James Conner and Pitt this year with all he's kind of went through, the leg injury and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. You know, but just in terms of general talent, he didn't show any drop-off in talent. Actually had his first receiving touchdown in that game. So, you know, definitely, I think that Pitt's just going to have enough answers to get the game in their favor. And hopefully another good win for the ACC.
All right. Well, Tommy, I'm going to go on spoiler alert and just go ahead and say that I'm going to pick Pitt. I don't really have a good reason for it. Are you going to surprise us, have somebody pick Penn State?
No, I think it's going to be Pitt in this one. Well, I think James Conner being back really is the key to their offense and what he's going to be able to open up and the load of the game that he's going to be able to carry is going to really open up what they're able to do. And I know Penn State got 354 yards last week against Kent State, but Pitt's defense is much, much better. So I think that's going to be the key side of the ball. Is I don't think Penn State's going to be able to move the ball like they want, and they're not going to be able to stop James Conner. So Pitt's going to win this one.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, all those reasons above, I just don't see Penn State pulling it off. Who knows? Rivalries, weird things happen, but I've got Pitt in my corner. All right, so before we go to the premier matchup, which is Tennessee and Virginia Tech at Bristol, I want to ask about your personal matchups. Andrew, Tommy, Nigel, did any of you bring any matchups you would like to talk about? I guess I'll start with you, Andrew. Or I will start with you, Nigel.
Okay. I think he muted himself. I'm actually going with the old adage, streaks were made to be broken. I'm choosing Kentucky over Florida.
Kentucky?
No particular reason. I just think it'd be fun. It's a fun pick for me. Just trying to see, maybe Kentucky, I think a lot. Do you learn more from a loss than a win? And I think Kentucky, having lost against Southern Mississippi, maybe they look inside themselves and find something. I don't think Florida's offense is ever good. It just hasn't been good. Maybe when they get the quarterback who was suspended last year for the year back, maybe they'll turn the page. But right now, I don't see that happening. So I think Kentucky's going to break the streak.
By the way, I'm just going to go out on the record and say that's a terrible pick because there's no way in hell. Streaks are made to be broken, but sure as hell not this year after Kentucky just lost to who? What? I don't even know. Who is it they lost to? This is going to be year 30 of losing to Florida. All right. Andrew, you seem to have figured out the mute button. Want to give it a go?
Yeah, my pick is a game. It's going to be on NBC Sports Network, and I'm really going to try to find a chance to watch it. But Rice travels to Army. Army coming off a big win over Temple last week and is actually a 10-point favorite against a Rice team that's really just kind of fallen apart. You know, they gave up 552 yards passing to Western Kentucky last week. It's going to be interesting to see if that Rice defense can adjust to what is going to be a completely different offensive styling they get from Army than the one they got from Western Kentucky. But I really think this is a year that Jeff Monken has that Army squad and they turn a corner. You know, they have a shot, I think, at making a bowl game in my mind. And I think that would be a great boon to that program. And I hope we can kind of get it rolling a lot like Niumatalolo and Calhoun have done at the other academies.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see a Army team that can challenge. All right, Tommy, what's your game?
I'm actually going to cheat and mention two real quick. The first one is Texas Tech and Arizona State, which I think might be one of the most evenly matched games of the week. I'm going to put there's no over-under declared yet. But I'm going to put the over-under at 70 points for this game because both teams are high-powered offenses. Texas Tech put up 758 yards last week, and that air raid that Kingsbury runs is going to continue to do so. And Arizona State as well is a pretty high-powered offense. So look for that one to score a lot of points. I think the tortilla throwers end up winning this one. But the other game I want to talk about is another two high-powered offenses in the Kansas Jayhawks and Ohio Bobcats. Both teams had over 550 yards last week. Ohio actually went to triple overtime versus Texas State and lost, and Kansas, as we all know, finally broke their losing streak that goes back all the way to 2014. Look for Kansas to extend their streak to 2-0, stay undefeated. But once again, I'm going to put the over-under at 75 on this game. Just looking for lots and lots of points to be scored in those two games.
They're actually giving Kansas 3 points in that game. Or 2.5, sorry. which people just don't have any faith in my Ohio Bobcats. What the hell is wrong with you people? Oh my gosh. Well, I feel sad because I haven't actually, like I kind of talked about, I was in Ireland last week. I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of these matchups, so I just don't know. But I guess my game that I'm looking forward to would be Middle Tennessee State versus Vanderbilt. I think it looks like the line that the pundits are giving it, or that Vegas is giving it, is 5.5 to Vandy. And I think Middle Tennessee's a better team than a lot of people are willing to recognize. I expect Middle Tennessee to come out there and do very well and actually upset Vanderbilt at home. So, see how that turns out. All right. Final matchup. Tennessee, Virginia Tech, the battle for Bristol. It's a huge matchup. Tennessee is really going to have to bounce back after a very lackluster performance week one. I think Virginia Tech is just looking to prove themselves, knock off an SEC team. So everybody's pretty – I think this is going to be the biggest – correct me if I'm wrong. This is going to be the biggest attendance for a college football game in history. Is that right? Okay. Well, with that being said, I guess I'll go in reverse order. Tommy, who do you got in this matchup?
So if you look at ESPN's FPI on this, they have Tennessee favored at an 87% chance of winning this. After their performance against App State, I don't agree with that. I definitely think Virginia Tech has a shot at this, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win. But I am going to pick Tennessee this time, as much as it kind of pains me to do so after what happened to them the week before. I just think they have too much talent over there to not put something together finally. That being said, I'm going to have to go with a final score of 18-15. So close game. Tennessee wins.
Yeah, I think – what are they giving old Tennessee in the score column? What is Vegas giving them? Vegas has got the matchup. Oh, wow. They're giving Tennessee 12 points. Oh, my gosh. I don't believe that. All right. Nigel, who do you think is going to come out on top, SEC or ACC? Looks like Andrew's not the only one who can't figure out the mute button. All right. Andrew. you want to go now, Nigel?
No, let Andrew go.
Okay. Andrew, go ahead.
I think if you're a betting man, you take that line, because I think Virginia Tech's going to win the game. You know, I think we've seen, you know, obviously they're going to play good on defense. They've always been good on defense. Keeping Bud Foster was a great part of that. You know, last week, albeit it was against Liberty, but Jerrod Evans came out and really put on a show. You know, 62.5% of his passes he completed, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, it was Liberty again, albeit, but I think Fuente has come in. He's found a great quarterback that fits what he wants to do in Jerrod Evans. You know, Isaiah Ford had a great game at receiver. And I think that they're really going to come in. I think the Virginia Tech defense is going to harry and just make Josh Dobbs' life miserable. And I think Virginia Tech wins the game. I think that they're better across the board. And I think Tennessee, we're going to look back as a team that this is the year that they collapse under the hype. And this might be the year that Butch Jones doesn't have a job.
They collapse under the hype like they do every year. Nigel, you got it now? Are you going to be able to figure this out?
I got this. I agree with Andrew completely on this one. I think if App State was able to use kind of their speed against Tennessee to that level of effectiveness, Josh Dobbs did not look good. He was throwing off his back foot, not making correct reads. They didn't run him enough, which maybe they'll run him more in this game and they'll actually utilize that. But, I mean, Tennessee just looks shell-shocked. And if the energy's not there, you know, and they're at your home stadium, is it going to be there, you know, on the road where Virginia Tech is obviously closer to Bristol than Knoxville is? So, you know, are we going to have to deal with, you know, we know Virginia Tech fans tend to travel pretty decently. So with that being such a close location for them, or at least closer than from Tennessee, is that going to play an adage? Is it going to be a home? Is going to be a home game or an away game feel to it? I just don't think Tennessee is going to get this one. And I think some Beamer ball is going to flash. And I actually think Virginia Tech is going to win this 24-14.
Yeah, I agree. I think for a couple of reasons. I think Virginia Tech's strong suit is definitely their defense. And the biggest thing that I saw out of Tennessee last week in the recaps, because I didn't actually see the game, was the O-line could not protect Dobbs in the backfield. And that was where he was struggling the most, because he was constantly under pressure. And you saw similar – obviously different teams, but you saw a similar issue with a good quarterback in the Ole Miss versus FSU game last week, where if your O-line can't protect your quarterback, it just gets in their head very quickly. So with keeping that in mind, all the stuff that Andrew pointed out about the way Justin Fuente runs his offense, and I just don't see how Virginia Tech can't pull this one off. I really don't expect Tennessee to stand a chance. It sounds unusual, but I'm picking strongly against Tennessee in this case, even though they're getting 12 points. That's really weird, but we'll see. Maybe Tennessee was caught looking ahead. I don't see that being the actual case. All right, and that wraps up all our picks. Thanks as always for listening. I guarantee I will get 100% this week. That way, we will have a consistent picker other than Elizabeth to come on. I can't make promises for everybody else. Anyway, thank you as always for listening. Y'all have a good rest of your week, and be sure to tune in for any blog posts on toemeetsleather.net. Bye-bye.